Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And I've told you guys in the past that I'm a guy that loves to go on Reddit. Get a lot of my news on Reddit. I love the articles. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's a subreddit for basically everything. And the NBA subreddit is one of my absolute favorites. And I saw a streamable clip of this woman, Elle Duncan of ESPN, who wrote a piece on Carmelo Anthony. I think it was on YouTube where you can see it. And basically, she was arguing against herself, like two different personalities of herself. One was called an apologist, and one was called a hater. And the intent of this argument was to say why Carmelo is good and he has a great legacy, or he's just another player in the NBA. He scored a bunch of points. It doesn't matter how many all-star teams he made, and basically how he's not as good as everyone makes him out to be. And I saw this and I was like, okay. And I didn't really understand what people were upset about on Reddit. I mean, people on Reddit are usually upset, so it's not that big of a surprise. But there was this flippant comment she made, and it was apologist L was saying he's a no doubt Hall of Famer. I don't really, I didn't go out and look for the exact quote. And then hater L said, well, with names like Dražen Petrović in the Hall of Fame, it's not that big of an accomplishment, basically. I'm paraphrasing here, but that is basically what she said. And people were saying, like, ESPN disrespects Dražen Petrović, or, this woman, Elle Duncan, disrespects Dražen Petrović. And it's not that big a deal when you see stuff on Reddit, because people take Reddit and, things are a little overblown there. But I saw it on Twitter, I saw it on Facebook, I saw it all over the place. And I got to be honest, guys, I'm a huge NBA fan. I am 35 years old, and I know I'd heard of Dražen Petrović before, but I didn't really know much about him. So I went to go look at his stats. And his stats, he played a couple seasons. He played from 1990 to 1993. In Portland, he wasn't that good. And then he played for the Nets, and he was much better for the Nets. He was a three-time All-NBA teamer. So, I mean, that's a nice accomplishment. And he's in the Hall of Fame, but I didn't really understand why Dražen Petrović, with, playing from 1989 to 1993, why would he go in the Hall of Fame? These numbers aren't that great. So I educated myself, which is what you do when you're ignorant of something. And, you can just go to his Wikipedia page and take a look and see all the accomplishments he had. I mean, this list of career highlights and awards, I just want you to listen to this. Listen to all of this stuff. It's unbelievable. All-NBA third team, 1993, FIBA World Cup MVP in 86, FIBA EuroBasket MVP in 89, two-time EuroLeague champion, 85 and 86, EuroLeague Finals top scorer in 85, FIBA European Selection 87, four-time EuroScar 86, 89, 92, 93, Mr. Europa Award 86, 93, two-time FIBA Sapportoa Cup champion, two-time FIBA Sapportoa Cup Finals top scorer, FIBA Karak Cup Finals top scorer in 88, Spanish League top scorer 89, Spanish Cup Final top scorer 89, Best Athlete of Yugoslavia 1985, Yugoslav Sportsman of the Year 85, Croatian Sportsman of the Year 85-86, FIBA's 50 Greatest Players in 91, 50 Greatest EuroLeague Contributors 2008, number 3 retired by the Brooklyn Nets, and is number 10 retired by Cibonia. So, I mean, you don't really have to dig to see how great Dražen Petrović was, you can go on his Wikipedia page, and it's all of his accomplishments are listed right there. It's fairly incredible. Now, the shortness of his career, which of course people will wonder about, was because he was killed in an automobile accident in 1993. And, I mean, that was right at peak age, 28, right before he was really going to start surging. So, I watched a couple documentaries, and this was just an interesting story for me because a lot of people, like I said, were complaining about the disrespect of Petrović. And look, you know, people make mistakes. I don't want to sit here and hammer on Elle Duncan. Should she have done a little more research before she said something like, you know, with people like Dražen Petrović in the Hall of Fame, it's not that big a deal? Of course, you know. But like I said, people make mistakes. She's allowed to, you know, make a mistake and move on with her career. She doesn't need to be roasted or anything. But I'm actually glad she said this thing because it gave me the chance, like I said, to educate myself on Petrović. So I sat down, I watched a couple documentaries on him. One was, and I read a couple articles. One was, the documentary was by Vice Sports. I think it's like 19 minutes long, and it talks about his life. There's a lot of interviewing of his mother going on in it, and it's really good. You know, it kind of lays out his career path. And there's one on, you know, funny enough, ESPN. It's a 30 for 30 called Once Brothers, and it is basically done by Vlade Divac because Vlade Divac was on the Yugoslavian national team with Petrović. So they're very, very, very interesting. And Petrovic's life was, I don't want to say tragic because that's not his whole life. Obviously, having it end at 28 is unbelievably tragic. But when he got signed to the Yugoslavian Professional League when he was 15 years old. So he was playing in that league for a while. He was a couple years older than Divac. Tony Kukoc was on that team. You remember Tony Kukoc from the Bulls, of course. And, you know, fellow Hall of Famer Dino Radic was on that team as well. So they had, you know, Petrović, Vladi, Radic, and Kukoc were all on that team. That was a very, very good team growing up. They all became very, very good friends. And when Petrović was drafted, he was drafted by Portland. Well, Portland already had Clyde Drexler at shooting guard, which is the position that Petrović played. So starting out, Petrović just wasn't flat out getting the minutes. You know, Clyde Drexler, amazing player, Hall of Famer. It's going to be tough to go in and get a bunch of minutes. He played 12.6 minutes his rookie season, only averaging 7.6 points. Just not given a lot of time. Then in his second season, he basically had it. He demanded a trade, and he was traded to the Nets. With the Nets, he was much better. In that 1990-1991 season, he put up 12.6 points per game in New Jersey. Moving on to 91-92, 20.6 points per game, 22.3 in his final year. And in that final year, he was still not feeling respected. He didn't think that he was getting enough respect. The contracts offers weren't coming to him as much as he would have expected. So there are rumors about what his plan was in the offseason. Was he going to just play for the Croatian national team? Was he going to go back to the NBA? So obviously none of that wound up happening. But not only was he was one of the biggest and best foreign players ever to come over to the NBA. He opened the door for a lot of people, but I think the big thing to take away from his career was he was playing in the NBA during a civil war in Yugoslavia. There was a, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you about the Yugoslavian civil war, but Yugoslavia broke up. Croatians were killing Serbs. Serbs were killing Croatians. It was a really, really bad time in Yugoslavia. And there was an incident at an international game where Yugoslavia had just beaten the Americans. And I think it actually with this incident, they'd just beaten the Russians. And a guy came down on the court with a Croatian flag, and they had been sent a memo that, you know, the Croatian nationalists are going to get in your face, try to ignore that. Well, the other guys were Croatian. All the other guys outside of Vlade Divac, Kukoc, Radic, and Petrovic, all Croatian. Vlade was Serbian, and the guy came down, and this incident that happened, I sigh because it, I just watched a documentary. It hurts me because it hurt Vlade so much. He grabbed the Croatian flag and he tossed it because he wanted it to be a united Yugoslavia. He didn't want to see his country in civil war. Well, the media picked up him ripping this Croatian flag out of this guy's hand, and you know, he's a hero in Serbia and he's an enemy in Croatia. The other three guys are Croatian, and that pretty much put a wrap on his relationship with his Yugoslavian teammates. That was it. And, you know, part of it could have been from the backlash that those guys would have gotten when they came home. And, you know, if they had been buddy-buddy with Vlade and, you know, their kids they grew up with and family members and stuff are being killed by Serbs, you know, that's a bad look. So it could have been dangerous for them to be friends with Vlade, to be quite honest. So, and for that to get back to their fellow Croatians. So it made sense that something like that would happen, but it was just unfortunate that, you know, a small incident like that ended friendships between those guys. Now, you know, over the years, Vlade has built relationships back with Kukoc and Radic, but it's just, it sucks, you know, because you think back of your, like, think back of your high school days and stuff like that, and it would suck. It would suck if I wasn't friends with at least some of the people from my high school days, the kids that I grew up with, and these were the kids that he grew up with. Like, the Welsh. The Welsh is a guy that I met from high school. It would suck if I didn't talk to him or any of my other friends because, you know, there was a war in my country. That would be terrible. So it's a sad story, but it shows the impact of Petrovic and what he did. So the bottom line here is he really set the stage for not only Croatians and Yugoslavian players to come over to the NBA and succeed. He and Vlade really set it up for European players to come over and succeed. So, you know, we have these huge European stars over here in the NBA now, and it's fantastic. It's it just makes the game better from a global level, and everyone has been served by these guys, and that is why Petrovic is in the Hall of Fame, because of his impact on the game overall, not only in America but in Europe, and paving the way for success from these Yugoslavian players. And I just put together a list, and this isn't even a big list of the Yugoslavian players. This is just a list of the ones that I thought were big impact as far as it goes right now. Obviously, we can start with you know, Toni Kukoc and Dino Radic, but other current guys and some other retired guys here. We had Jusuf Nurkić, the Bogdanović brothers, Mario Hezonja, Dario Saric is actually from the same town as Petrovic, Zubac with L.A., Nikola Vucevic, Nikola Petrovic, if you guys remember him, Bjelica, Nikola Jokic, who is killing it, Boban Marjanovic, Saša Pavlović, Vladimir Radmanović, Peja Stojaković, Milos Teodosic, Luka Doncic, Goran Dragic, and Saša Vucevic. Goran Dragic, I saw the first thing when I plugged in, Petrovic into YouTube was Goran Dragic receiving, it was, I think it might have been FIBA Sportsman of the Year, something like that. But he was given a Petrovic jersey, and he was so touched by this, he started crying. So, obviously, Dragan Petrovic, huge impact on the NBA. We wouldn't have stars like Luka Doncic and Nurkić and Jokic and all those guys, and that is just the players from the former, you know, Yugoslavia. guys from Croatia and Serbia and all those places right now. That doesn't even include guys like Dirk, you know, other European players, Tony Parker. Just there's going to be all kinds of European Hall of Famers coming up pretty soon once some of these guys are retiring and going into the NBA. So, like I said, some positive can be made out of a mistake that L. Duncan made. And for me, that was educating myself. And for you, you guys should watch those documentaries. They're very, very good. And, you know, they just show a lot of what he did. And Vlade also. So, like I said, some good came out of a mistake. And I'm happy to know all that information now. Getting to some stuff that has been happening, though. The Rockets are apparently after KCP again. I don't know why this rumor keeps floating up. Yeah, like it's like, there's no trades today. Yeah, the Rockets are after KCP again. Let's just go with that one. I don't know. Like, I feel like this should be done by now. The Rockets have been winning games, so it's not like there's anything that they need at this point. They probably need to add stuff to compete in the playoffs, but the Rockets have been playing well. So it's just funny timing on this rumor, and this is like the fourth time this rumor has come up this year. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of rumors, we finally got that Grizzlies trade done with the Suns, and the Suns immediately got Austin Rivers and waived him. So he is expected to become a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. Which, this was kind of funny because Rivers was going to Phoenix in the original deal. So, I don't know if the Grizzlies wanted Rivers. Why wouldn't they have asked for Rivers and maybe given a pick back to Phoenix or something? But whatever. It's over with now. Austin Rivers waived, so the Suns just got Kelly Oubre in that deal. And we'll see if they wind up playing him and extending him. Because I believe it is a team option next year for him, so he is basically an expiring contract. Steve Kerr said, and this is kind of funny because the Welsh, my friend the Welsh, has been pushing over this DeMarcus Cousins is going to be back by Christmas narrative on our podcast and here on NBA Takeaways. So it's just funny to see that the day after, because I listened to his shows and he was talking a lot about DeMarcus Cousins possibly coming back. And then Steve Kerr said that it's still going to be some time before Cousins returns. His quotes were, we're not right there. It's still going to be some time. We're going to be patient and continue to give DeMarcus the space he needs to prepare. When the time is right, we'll have some things planned for him. So, like I have been saying, I don't know why they would push DeMarcus Cousins. They're still the Warriors. I know that the Nuggets are first in the West right now, but I think that the Warriors at the end of the season are probably going to be there in first. And there is no narrative for them to need DeMarcus Cousins at this point. So now look, if we get to the middle of February, we get to the All-Star break and the Nuggets are still up. All right, maybe get this guy in, you know, maybe improve the team. We're trying to get the number one seed again. But as of right now, they just don't really have a need or a reason to push DeMarcus Cousins, and I don't think they're going to. So I think it's going to be about the middle of January when we see him on the court. So, I mean, it could be sooner than that because he is practicing, but I think with these quotes, I'm just going to go ahead and say I don't expect him back anytime soon. Dave Yeager refutes accusations that the positive comments about Luka Doncic were veiled shots at our guy, Vlade Divac, who we've already talked about today. I don't know if you guys saw these the other day, but Dave Yeager said, yeah, unfortunately, there seems to be no ceiling for Luka Doncic. And people took that as a veiled shot at Vlade Divac and management in Sacramento because they should have drafted him with the number two overall pick where they took Marvin Bagley. That's not how I saw it. You just got done playing a game against Dallas. You lost. Doncic went off. How about you say some positive things about him? And here are the quotes. He said, all we're trying to do is say something positive about the another team's players. There's no veiled shots at anybody. De'Aaron gushed about him, and Bogdanovich gushed about him and his ability and wishing him the best. It's unfortunate that we had to play him, and so is the rest of the league because that guy is playing really well right now. It was out of love and positivity, and people are trying to turn it into something between Vlade and I. Vlade and I are like this. I think he did the finger cross. 3 years we've been working together, and we love it. I love him. So hopefully, I think that was a thorough enough explanation for Dave Yeager. And we've seen, and I've talked about some rumors about Dave Yeager needs to play the young guys more. He needs to play the young guys more. I just don't understand how his job could be in jeopardy when he has improved this team so much. I don't know that I've seen a turnaround without adding a huge talented player to your team. And, you know, they added Marvin Bagley, obviously, but Marvin Bagley's hurt right now. And he's been banged up this season. So the Kings are making a huge step forward. And I think they should continue with Yeager. I would be surprised to see them move off of him. And the last thing here, and the Welsh talked about this a little bit yesterday, about Jabari Parker being out of the rotation in Chicago. Could be multiple reasons because of this. A lot of the rumors are that maybe he was the one that was upset and wanted to cancel the practice and all that stuff. Who knows? I don't know. But regardless, he's been taken out of the rotation, and the rumor was Utah is thinking about him and looking about him, but they have denied even discussing him, which was kind of surprising to me. I would think that, shouldn't that be like a management's duty for one another to kind of boost up another player? I'm not sitting here saying like, oh yeah, we've been thinking about trading for Jabari, and here are the guys that we would consider, or here are the pieces of a deal that we would consider. I would think it would be more of a, well, like a not, don't deny it, you know. Don't say, we haven't even talked about Jabari Parker. I don't know who's saying that. They're crazy. I would think from one GM to another, it would just be a little bit more respectful to say something along the lines of, well, you know, we discuss a lot of possibilities, and I'm not going to confirm nor deny that we've been talking about Jabari Parker. I'll just say that we have been discussing all kinds of possibilities with our team. We're always trying to improve our team and make it better, and if it's adding a certain player, that's what we discuss. That's our job. But we didn't get that here. So I'm guessing that probably Jabari Parker is not in the plans for the Jazz. My buddy Jonas Nader over at Roto-World seems to think that it was a plant, which I always kind of think is funny. You know, it was an agent said that they were doing that to try to drum up interest. I don't know if that stuff works. I think NBA teams are smarter than that. But let's get to some action that happened last night, shall we? First game up, we had Cleveland 92, Indiana 91. Game winner knocked down by Larry Nance Jr., although he might have gotten away with one as he tossed Oladipo right before the tip-in. Larry Drew said, Larry Nance was terrific, even beyond the putback. I thought he did a phenomenal job offensively. He made some terrific passes. He took good shots, and he got to the offensive glass, and defensively, he really competed. And I love that, because with Tristan Thompson hurt, I expected Larry Nance to get a big bump. Didn't happen initially. I mean, the first game, Channing Frye got a start. But he was huge in this game. 15 points, career high, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals and a block. Rodney Hood, 17-6, 2-2. Blossom game has been getting some more minutes. 7 points, 8 boards, an assist, a steal, and a block on the Indiana side. Turner, 12-10, 2, and 4 blocks. Sabonis, 17-8, 3, and 2 steals. Oladipo, 12-5-5-1, although they did say that Oladipo is back to normal. He's not going to have any more minute restrictions or anything like that. He is good, and my guy Thatitude, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. The next game was Atlanta 118, Washington 110. Jeremy Lin sealed this one with 12 of his 16 in the fourth quarter. Bradley Beal said of this game, tonight it was just a matter of effort. We thought it was going to be an easy game, and they whipped our ass, plain and simple. Fourth missed game in a row for Otto Porter Jr. This was Trevor Ariza's first game with them after the trade with Phoenix. The Wizards are 4-13 on the road and 8-6 at home. Jeremy Lin in this one, 16-3-4. Collins, 20 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Trae Young, 19-3-4 and a steal. Deadman, double-double, 13-10-2 with a steal and a block. Bradley Beal, 29 points. Obviously, it wasn't his effort. 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 11 of 17. Ariza, like I said, making his debut, 19-8-4-6 steals. Wall, 15 points, no rebounds, 6 assists. He complained about the fouls a little bit. There were a lot of fouls called in this game, but it was 31 on Washington, 29 on Atlanta. So Maybe you can't get into rhythm because of that, but the game wasn't lost because of the officials. The next game up, we had Brooklyn 115 over the Lakers 110. That is a six-game win streak for the Nets. The highlight of this game was Jared Allen swatting LeBron. Hook him. Let's go. Let's go, Jared Allen. And he has been swatted on so few dunks that SportsCenter, I had it on my TV right before I started recording this, they did a thing where they just showed all of the times that LeBron has been blocked on dunks, and it is not that many, maybe 10 in his career. That's a lot of dunks for LeBron, and he has not been swatted that often, so pretty impressive. Rondo and Ingram are expected back with the Lakers at practice on Thursday. Rondo should be full go. We're still waiting to see if Ingram is going to get there. Not quite there yet. In this game, D'Angelo Russell, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists with a block and 4 three-pointers. Dinwiddie, 18, 1, and 6 assists. Joe Harris, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. RHJ, 17, 8, 3, and a steal. LeBron still had 36 points in this game, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, and a block. Kyle Kuzma, 22, 11, 3, and 1. He has been on some kind of streak. And Lonzo Ball has been good recently, too, 23, 6, 3, and 2 steals. Last game of the night, we had Denver 126 over Dallas 118. Denver extended its home win streak to 7 here, matching their best start through 30 games at 21 and 9. Malone on Nikola Jokic. Nikola is showing everybody in the NBA he is a MVP candidate, not just from a stat standpoint. He does it every single night in so many different ways. That's why he's a special player. Hard to argue with him. Jokic, 32, 16, 4, 3 steals and a block. Jamal Murray, 22 points, 7 rebounds, career high, 15 assists, a steal and a block. And Monty Morris still doing it, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. No Dennis Smith Jr. again for Dallas in this one, but Doncic, 23-6 with 12 assists and a steal. Harrison Barnes, 30 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, and a block. And Wesley Matthews, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. On the docket tonight, we got a 12-game slate. San Antonio at Orlando kicks us off. That is a straight pick'em game. That's tough. I'd probably go with Orlando, just take the home team there. New York at Philadelphia, no line on that one. Cleveland is at Charlotte. Charlotte, a 12.5-point favorite. That is a back-to-back game for Cleveland. I think I'd take him in that 12.5, though. Phoenix is at Boston. Boston favored by 12. Phoenix just won a game. You know, that's 3 in a row for them. Indiana at Toronto, no line there. Brooklyn at Chicago. Brooklyn's favored by 2. I'd take them in the win streak. Houston is hosting Washington. Washington didn't look good last night. I would go with Houston again, by minus the 11. New Orleans against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's at home, favored by 8. I'll go with them. Detroit again at Minnesota. Minnesota by 5. I'd take Minnesota. Golden State at Utah. Golden State favored by 3. That's a tough one. That's going to be a good game. I think I'll go with Utah. They play tough at home. Memphis at Portland. No line there. And Oklahoma City favored by 5 at Sacramento. Sacramento coming off a bunch of games. I think I would go with OKC there. And that's everything I got for you today, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. This has been NBA Takeaways on the NBA Sound System. Have a great NBA day, everybody.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.